Yes. Hello, and welcome to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. I'm in San Francisco. The tour's almost over. I'll be heading home soon. It's been a big, long tour. I'm watching these Harvard commencement speeches. They're popping up on my reels. They're not all from Harvard. Just Conan's was from Harvard. And I think Ronnie Chang's was at Harvard as well. But I just saw one from a lesser college, I do believe. University. And it was a guy giving his like three rules to having great taste. And one of them was create more than you consume. Which I found to be disgusting. He was saying you've got to create. That's how you develop taste, is you make things. It's not about just being passive and taking things in, consuming. Using the word consume for you know, being an audience for art is fairly gross, I think. I mean, you know, porno and food, one can maybe consume those things, but do you consume Shakespeare? Do you consume Thackeray? Or do you consume war? W-A-U-G-H. Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe. Oh, one might consume Woodhouse. Vonnegut. Maybe. Does one consume him? It just seemed trivial and silly to me. And trite. Silly. To say that you should... I don't know why that stuck in my craw. That's what I was watching just before I started the podcast. And it's stuck right up in the craw. That... Because I've seen this argument before. I've seen people having this argument about if you're a writer, do you need to read? And I'm rather strongly of the position that I don't think that could hurt. I suppose I exist within the milieu of the genre. My genre is stand-up comedy. And I've seen people who are not across stand-up comedy and don't think about things like lineage and don't watch a lot of it or haven't seen a lot of it, haven't thought about it and have more, you know, more on the creating than consuming side of the ledger. And terrible to the last. Dreadful all the way down. Basically awful. Can't think of a counterexample. Would love to have one. I don't just mean bad in terms of not having taste. I mean, people don't want to see it. You know, if you're interested in the form, I think you'd get enough joy out of people doing it well that you'd gravitate to that. I can't imagine, you know. Writing music is the most important thing to me. I have never listened to the Beatles. Why would I? Why would I want that? It's all about putting out rather than taking in. It's a conversation. It's back and forth. Can't hurt to do both. Obviously, there are some people who have nothing but intake and no output, but that's also fine. Creativity belongs to God alone, and the rest of us are just pretending. Refashioning, repurposing, stealing. Hey, it's good to be here. The tour's almost over. Thank goodness I'll get to... It's been like 6 weeks. I'm sorry, the podcast has been... yes, there have been some stop gaps. And even this one is audio only. We have here an audio only podcast. Again. But there will be visuals soon. I have finished... I'll tell you this. I've been creating without consuming on stage. I've got no idea what's going on in the world. Or really in my own body or mind. Do you know what I mean? It's been like two shows a night and travel in the morning is what we've done, sort of, more or less, with a couple breaks and sometimes one show, sometimes 2 days. But for long stretches, it was travel in the morning and two shows at night. And I really appreciate everybody who came out and saw me at various stages of being together. I think we got it together in Denver for at least the last show. Thank goodness we shot four shows. No, we persevere. We move on. I just I haven't been reading very much. Lincoln in the Bardo seems like such a long time ago. I'm reading W.E.B. Du Bois.
Du Bois.
I'm reading Du Bois. Black communist. Long-lived black communist. Black communist who lived for a long time. Fella had some trouble with the book of my man, Booker T. Washington. And I'm reading his book that I got from a San Franciscan bookstore on what do they call it? Reconstruction. He didn't even know what it was called. Yeah, it's not my country. And I'm picking it up as quick as I can, and there's not a lot of... How would I know about it? Anyway, I'm enjoying... He's a great prose stylist, is W.E.B. Du Bois. And I'm enjoying reading him and finding out. I think people during and after Reconstruction, white historians, this is the period after the Civil War, for the Australian listeners, when the South had to be reconstituted in light of their incredible defeat at the hands of the Northerner, the carpetbaggers, the Yankee. They were figuring out how to move forward as a country. And suddenly you had black people in government and a change of laws for black people. And yeah, I think at first people said, that wasn't very good. And W.E.B. Du Bois, he wrote this, I think, revisionist history has other connotations now. Specifically Holocaust denial, I do believe anyway. But that's not the kind of revisionist history. I don't believe that W.E.B. Du Bois was writing. Hello, welcome to this episode of the James Donald Force McCann Catamaran. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm enjoying it. There's I got onto Wikipedia and I read an argument. I read about an argument. I didn't read the argument. I read about an argument between, and I don't know about any of this. I'm just finding out. I'm doing the research. I'm hashtag educating myself. But W.E.B. Du Bois arguing with Booker T. Washington. And as best I can tell, the argument seems to be, had a better lot of black people as a people. What can be done for black people? And it's, you know, do we go for political power? And sweeping away the injustices, and we will flourish in a just and fair society? Or do we strengthen and enrich in ourselves as a people? And ourselves, I'm talking there about the community. But, you know, if one is part of a people, do you reach out and get more friendships for that people? Do you get more skills? Is it about, bottom up or top down? Is the way forward bottom up or top down? Is it us all coming together, having bonds and lifting ourselves up? Or is it going to the top and clearing the impediments out of the way? And I'm sure the answer is both. But it's, I'm having a good time reading all about it. I mean, my natural inclination is to be on the side in that dispute of Booker T. Washington, not because of anything he's necessarily said, but because of the wrestler who has a similar name. Anyway, how are you? I hope you're good. Can I tell you what happened on the tour? I'll give you a quick breakdown because it's over now, and I have a list of all the places that I've been to in the last 6 weeks. Do I go forward or do I go back? I guess I go back to the start. Shimmery chime sound effect. Started out in Austin, which I think was a mistake for my nerves. It worked out for the show, but I came with 20 minutes and a whole lot of piffle. And I was headlining that weekend, and I think I got through all the shows, but the stress. By the end of that week, I could not look the audience in the eye. Not because I was ashamed, just because I felt like to write a thing and to do a thing. You know what I mean? Like, When, yeah, maybe don't. Maybe I don't. When it's new material, you got to work so hard. You're paying so much attention to it. By the end of the tour, sometimes I'd black out for 30 to 40 minutes at a time and come to and go, I'm at that part of the show. They all seem to be laughing. I guess nothing crazy has happened. But at the start, every word, every pause, every... you're really, it's, there's a lot of thinking going on to make sure it comes together. And the issue with doing that, I mean, Austin's a great place to develop material. It's just a lot of people that I love and respect are there, and I didn't want to be crappy in front of them. So I, you know, maybe that was a trial by fire thing to try and be good there without as many hours on the material as I wanted to have had at that point. Anyway, I think it all worked out in the end. We'll find out. We've recorded the special, and now we have to try and sell it to somebody. And if nobody wants to buy it, well, there's only one game in town. Ba-bum. But if they don't want to buy it, then I'm very happy to put it on YouTube and just share it with everybody. All right, so Austin flew to Albuquerque with CJ and Fuzzy. My openers at that point in the journey. Albuquerque, very Mexican. Stayed out of the downtown. Everybody said, don't go to the downtown. I said, okay. They said, the term war zone was used. Then we did the drive. It was a beautiful drive to Phoenix. Not beautiful in Phoenix. The people of Phoenix, of course, very beautiful. But the state of Arizona is incredible. And then you get to Phoenix and you go, oh, all right. Why are we doing it here? Why is the big city here? Why wouldn't the big city be in a nicer place over there? Up there in the mountains with the hills and the trees. But it was in Phoenix that I felt the show came together, and I'll always be grateful to the people of Phoenix for that. That's Phoenix is where I went. Okay, there's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. There we go. San Diego, beautiful San Diego, the great starter city of America. If you start out in San Diego, I think that's as good a start as you can get for show business in America, because you have it's comforting, it's pleasant. And you've got Los Angeles right there. It's just right there. So if you ever have a problem, you just head on back home for the weekend. It's not a long drive. It's not a long train. Whereas, you know, if you come out of Kansas or something, you got to go all the way back to Kansas to lick your wounds. But I can see that San Diego, there's something about it. I enjoyed my time in San Diego. Like Fuzzy was with us, he was the opener there, and he'd never seen the ocean before, and we got to take him to La Jolla, which I only went to because I'd heard comedian and podcaster Tim Dillon speak about La Jolla in such affectionate terms. So we went to La Jolla. Then it was Los Angeles. That was like the longest time in one place, I think, that I got to spend. My friend Ruby was there, and we got to go for walks, and we got to be in the comedy festival, the Netflix is a joke comedy festival, go to the roast of Kevin Hart. I got very drunk. I was sitting with the celebrities. I got the times wrong, and so I was wearing all the wrong things, and I was not on camera very often. They did not want to put me on camera because I wasn't wearing a beautiful suit. Fair enough, too. Could have taken my freaking hat off. What else happened? I got to open for the great Shane Gillis at the Hollywood Bowl. Golly, it was a big week, but it's all a blur to me now. I got to see Kanye West across a room. That was nice. I got to do shows at the Improv. Sam Campbell opened. That was huge for me. I got to do a Made in Manhattan watch along with Dan Soder, Tim Dillon, and Joe DeRosa. It was a big week. And from there on, that was the last like sort of restful time, and that was pretty brutal from there. Looking at it now, it's nuts, baby. Seattle. Like, and then the memories stop. Here's the thing I've got to say. So first thing is things sold out, and that's great. And we've got very good tour numbers in all of these places, and we'll get to play bigger rooms. And, you know, if it's the same room, then for more times in the future. But from about Seattle on, I have almost no memories of the various places I was at, because I would fly there or drive there, do the show, lay on the floor backstage, do another show, go back to a hotel room, get up the next morning and do it all again. So Seattle, I just remember that the sound system had big problems and then a man collapsed and then everyone assured me was okay. Everyone, a man fell down and hit his head on a table and everyone was like, "No, he's all right." And they just go, "No, he's fine. Don't worry about it." One of the worst American accents you'll hear at it, Jimmy. Anyway, so that was fairly upsetting that he had collapsed, but people told me he was fine. Then it was down to Portland. I got to go to Cop's bookstore. My friend Patrick was with me at that time. And CJ had rejoined the show. Sweet, CJ. And we drove Seattle to Portland. I say we drove. Patrick drove. Then we flew, CJ and I, to Chicago, where we did the improv, which is vast, and the audience is very far away from you. I remember by that point I was worried I was getting sick, so I was having tea. Then we drove to Michigan, I think, and Flint. No, Detroit. Excuse me. I don't know why I put Michigan on the thing instead of Detroit, but we went to Detroit, and Detroit's beautiful. There was one night where CJ and I walked around the downtown of Detroit, and so many bad things are said about Detroit and its downtown, but I must say, hats off to Detroit, a wonderful place. Did I end up giving more of my money to street persons who asked for it than I wanted to? Yeah, because I was scared. There was a gang. But mostly had a good time in beautiful. I wish that hadn't happened so that I could say, "Oh, Detroit, nothing wrong with that." Nah, there's still a little. But overall, a very good time. Then it was up to Toronto. And I must say, the people of Toronto got kind of a weird show if you're a Torontoese listener. If you're a Toronto Stanian, you got kind of a weird show because I find in the Commonwealth countries, the audiences don't mind it if you just if you put the act to one side for a moment and you just have a chit-chat with them. And so Toronto was a little loosier-goosier than the show had been elsewhere. And that's where Eve joined the tour and also Alistair Tremblay-Birchall. Man, it feels like both yesterday and so long ago, but that was actually the middle of the tour. Good Lord, we've been on the road for too long. So it was Toronto. Went to the art gallery. It was fine. It's good. I really enjoyed talking to people of Toronto. It's just Melbourne. Then it was on to New York. I got to see my friend Amos Gill all too briefly. We did two shows in New York and he got to open. And I met Vittorio Angeloni for the first time. That was nice. Then we took the train. Excuse me, hiccup. Eve and I took the train to Boston. We met Mike G. Yes, Mike G was there. Gosh, it's been a lot of openers. I'm sure I'm forgetting some of them as well. As Boston. And I always find that Boston audiences are so positive after the show. They're a little bit more work during the show, but after the show, "Oh, fuck, man." Can't do your voices, I'm sorry. Then it was to Steubenville, and I had a wonderful time in Steubenville. And indeed, the comedy club in Pittsburgh, the greater Steubenville area. Got to see my friend Mark. Got to see Joe Esch, got to open for me. That was a real treasure, real treat. Great times in Steubenville that I can sort of remember. They were doing a conference at the time. I just happened to line up with the New Polity conference, and I went to go and watch a lecture one morning about Aristotelian hierarchies versus Christian, you know, pushing down versus lifting up. And it was all like, I think I understood as much as I was supposed to, but it did use all brain power I had being quite early in the morning from the great Andrew Willard Jones. So after that, I skipped the rest of it and I went to bed and we did the shows. And then it was, I mean, my goodness, Orlando. I had we got to Orlando a day early. I'd hoped to go to Disney World, but I had no life left in me. So we just did the shows in Orlando. Thank you, Orlando. And that was me and Vittorio Angeloni. I got a Jeep. I rented a Jeep. I paid a little extra money and I rented a Jeep. And it was so fun for 15 minutes. And very quickly you go, "Oh, why is it so fucking hard to drive this thing in a straight line?" We drove down to Naples. I saw a lot of Florida, and I don't think I saw good Florida. I think I saw the bad Florida. I know there's good Florida out there. I'd like to come back and experience good Florida. But the Florida I saw was a lot of rain. And I went out to the Jeep, and there were these tiny snails everywhere on the ground. Tiny baby snails, itty bitty baby snails like I've never seen before in my life. And I had to pull the car out of the car park, and I knew I'd be hitting some of the... They weren't snails. It's funny they've become snails in my memory. They were frogs, the tiniest frogs. But I felt about them the way one does about snails, but they were frogs. Isn't that odd? Isn't that odd? I avoided stepping on them, but then I had to drive out. And there were so many of them all over the asphalt. And I just knew that some of them would be getting got. And it was heartbreaking. On to Tampa. In Naples, I had maybe the worst audience interaction I remember having, where a man, was a very Floridarian man, but he thought I was progressive. I don't know how he got that from the material. I had just finished wrapping up a Vietnamese accent, and he thought I was a big left winger, and maybe I am. I guess I've never been accused of that before. A couple times actually. Every now and again, people in America of a certain, I won't even say political persuasion, but, I don't know. I don't know a nice way to put it. Men with a sort of inclination for real dickhead type operators. Dickhead is what we'd call him. He's a fucking dickhead. Anyway, dickheads sometimes just hear the way I speak and dress and look at my hair and my accent, and they go, he's a progressive. And I'm happy for people to think that. Maybe I don't even know what I am. Or wouldn't mind if people accused me of being center-left. Seems like an easier way to get through life. But anyway, I had to kick a guy out. I don't like kicking a guy out, but I had to kick a guy out. I had to kick a guy. I said, get him out of here. Take his coat. And then we drove up to Tampa. And I'm trying to remember Tampa. Trying to remember the room in Tampa. I did two shows in Tampa. Eve was there. Vittorio Angeloni was there in Tampa. Do I remember it? This is the first one where I'm losing it. This is honest to goodness the first one. I'll remember in a second. Excuse me. It's been a lot of shows. I remembered every moment of every show up to... What's throwing me is that there were two shows in Tampa. Two shows in Tampa. Okay, I drove up with Vittorio Angeloni. We were so upset in Naples that we drove up the night after. We didn't stay at the hotel. We got an extra night at the new hotel. Ah, yes! Ah, yes, Tampa! Oh, wonderful room in Tampa. Tampa, I remember you well. Many wonderful, famous people have been to that Tampa room, an older room, a good room, the pictures on the walls. I loved Tampa. I loved Tampa. Tampa was good. By that point, though, I must say I was getting pretty scared because that was the last show before the comedy special filming. Perhaps that's why I lost it ever so briefly in my mind. Yes, Tampa. Yes. Well, I had been before to St. Petersburg. No, that can't be what it's called. The gay bit. For Coastal Collective, but this time I got booked somewhere else. I'm sorry, Coastal Collective, that wasn't an indictment. It's just who booked me. And is it called Side Splitters? I had a wonderful time there. Wonderful time. Wonderful people. Wonderful time. And then the big experience was the comedy special in Denver. This must be dull as dishwater for people. Comic-Con was on at the time in Denver. And I would see them all, you know, and I think, gosh, man, lady, you've worked so hard on your costume, let's get you a little bit of fake tan so that's not the most distracting thing going on here is your translucent skin. I wanted to go and meet with Paulie Shore got in touch with me, but I was filming this special at night, and I thought, I'll get up and go and see Paulie Shore at the Comic Con, but I couldn't. I was just so flat as a tack. Apologies to Paulie Shore. I'm sure he's a very enthusiastic listener. The Denver Comedy Works, some 2 at 4 in the downtown. That's where I recorded the special, and then the sort of Lap of Honor gigs started. The last one of in Denver, and then 2 in Cobbs in San Francisco that we've now done, and. Yes. I don't know if that's a lot or not a lot. No, it's a lot. It's too many. But in my agent's defense, I must say I told him to do it. And he said, James, you're going to hate me. I said, I'm not going to hate you, please. He said, James, you're going to become an anti-Semite. I said, no, he didn't say that. But it's the sort of thing that people do where they ask to be, you know, overcommitted, and then they start looking for excuses as to why they're unhappy. I begged so that I could get back to my family with as much money as possible to have it done like that. And I felt like I got all the required support that I needed. And now I begin the journey home. I'm not just going to head straight home. I'm going to take a couple days getting home in various islands and time zones along the way. Because I have been out on the road and I'm in such a bad mood. Eve Ellen Bogan was my opener for back half of the tour, and in general we've been good to one another, but also I can hear the way I'm talking to her and everybody else. And I'm a bit rude and snappy, and I think it would be a mistake after so long away to go straight home and just be... So I'll take, I think it's going to take me 3 extra days. I've got a weekend holiday to... so that I don't go home and rip everyone's head off. and this was actually, I think this was at the bequest. Is bequest even the word? It's what my wife asked me to do. She said, take a couple days. Get yourself, you know, your time zone. Have a Mai Tai by the pool. Relax a little bit, honey. Don't come home and make our lives bad because you've been working very hard and we're very proud of you. And you're going to be a monster when you walk through the door. It's true. It's true. I miss my family so much. I want to go back to them so badly. I know from doing this a number of times that the goodwill and good feeling will last for as much as an hour. As much as an hour. An hour would be a very, very good outcome. And then the grumpery starts. One starts being grumpy. A big old, you know what I'm saying? A big Mr. Grumpy. I lose my tolerance for if you're in and around young kids, after a couple of days you get used to it and it's fine and it doesn't bug you. But it's just natural that if you're not attuned to screaming, shrieking and fast movement, you get pretty upset with it. I tell you, my body's falling apart. I'm feeling aches and pains, and people keep telling me that it's because I've been stressed and I've been working hard and I haven't been living well and I've been on the road. But I have been living all right. I've been exercising a fair amount. I've been getting my effing steps in. I've been in different beds every night. But it's yes, I will be going and seeing anyway. We'll get the body and don't worry about Jimmy. Don't worry about Jimmy. We'll be getting that all under control. Oh, mercy. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Discuss what you do to take care of yourself during summer. I like to swim. Encourage listeners to build in time for themselves. This is the read. This is the ad read I'm doing now, okay? Therapy can help people better understand their needs, feel more confident setting boundaries, and create a version of summer that actually feels good. I guess there are some people who have... This is me again. This is no longer the commercial. I guess there are some people who have seasonal depression during the summer. Shout out. What's up? What's up? And then the ad again. So inverted commas, this is me doing an ad. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/catamaran. That's better, HELP.com/catamaran. Now it's for the next commercial. A host to tell a story about their personal experience with mud/water. MUDWTR. I'm guessing that's mud water. We encourage you to talk about it as long as you want. Have any products stood out to you? Tell us how they make you feel. If you've been curious about getting off caffeine or just cutting back, this is the easiest way to actually try it. For coffee shop lovers who just can't handle the full caffeine load anymore, MUD/WTR, possibly pronounced mud water, is the version of your morning drink you didn't know existed, because loving coffee shouldn't mean negotiating with it every morning. Ready to make the switch to cleaner energy? Go to MUDWTR.com/catamaran and grab the starter kit. Use code CATAMARAN and you'll get 43% off. The frother alone is worth it. That's right, up to 43% off with code CATAMARAN at MUDT. Take that back! MUDWTR.com. That's one more time. That's MUDWTR.com. After your purchase, they'll ask how you found them. Please show your support and let them know that we sent you. Oh, Eve's here. Hey, Eve.
Hi, James.
We watched some of Uncut Gems last night. You made us stop because you thought Julia Fox was too sexy.
That was my whole reason. I did not make us stop. I said I wasn't enjoying
it. You said, get it off!
And then you said,
get this fucking Jew off the fucking screen! It was terrible the way you spoke.
I'd be happy to turn it off if you don't like it. And I should have known then that it was because you were going to weaponize it against me.
No, come on. Today. I've been on the road with Eve for a while.
And I think it's been a few years now.
Well, Eve's doing very well, and Eve's impressing all sorts of people.
Thank you. I can't argue.
San Francisco's quite nice.
I just got off the phone with my father before you got back, before I called Ruby. I was on the phone with Ruby just now. And I told him this has to be the most beautiful American city. City. Of the
You know, I think the stabbings of New Orleans complicates it.
I think
New Orleans is unbelievably beautiful. You're going there soon, though, aren't you?
You're going to what?
New Orleans is beautiful. And also, you know, the hills in LA are crazy. I wouldn't say that's the city. If you're talking about downtowns, downtown to downtown,
I think it's up there. As you drive around San Francisco, you go, wow. Like again and again. And that just, it's like.
And then occasionally you go, wow.
Yeah. I haven't really seen many of those.
Oh, I've had a couple.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, I've heard that there's a few streets downtown that you go, oh my God. But everything I've seen so far, like I was at the Palace of Fine Arts. Do you want to see a picture?
Absolutely.
And listener, you may Google it at the same moment.
The Palace of Fine Arts.
But it is stunning. Here we go.
Yeah, it's a very Beaux Arts type place. I mean, there are beautiful places in America.
It's just like, but I will say, it's a little park.
Yeah, beautiful.
It's incredible. And then
but I will say, then I saw some kids hacky sacking who were slightly too old to hacky sack.
And you were like, burn it.
Fucking
burn this place.
Scumbos.
Scumbos. I mean, yeah, like I think I was thinking about it because obviously there's a real hippie culture, really left-wing culture to California generally. And I think it comes with having such a beautiful environment that you want to protect it, which breeds a lot of hippiness.
I don't know. When I'm in the Southland, when I'm in the Southland, when I'm in the Southland, Dixie.
You're talking about like
deep down in Dixie.
Talking about like Louisiana, or you're talking about Texas?
I'm talking about all Dixie. I'm talking about Alabama.
Alabama. I was in
I'm
Alabama.
I'm Mississippi and Alabama. I'm talking about even as far north as Missouri and Arkansas.
Right.
Talk about Virginia.
Yeah.
West Virginia.
Then what? What's the feeling?
Oh, it's totally I want to preserve and protect, but it's
Virginia's pretty left, I think.
Yeah.
Not West Virginia.
Not how that's flipped. How indeed that is flipped.
Well, I think it was. I mean, I
think there are some transplants into the northern parts of Virginia.
I think that,
so
yeah,
there's Washington
people. It's a lot of people who work for the government, who, and the government workers tend to be very left. I mean, obviously, yes, not anymore.
I would just question natural beauty to progressivism.
Well, what I said to my dad today, I was like, the danger of a place like this is it's so beautiful that you just, it's hard to be ambitious because you go, what do I care?
And look yet outside. They are pretty fucking ambitious. All the ambitious people come here.
Well, I think they come here. The tech people have come here to co-opt it.
Yeah.
But I think it's like...
And even then, they were pretty ambitious for what you could do with being gay.
I mean,
you know, they different. Were taking being gay to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Amos has so thought about it. Because I do like this... I do like the thought of...
being gay.
What does the... yes, of course. What does the weather have to do with...
I think about this too.
Macro.
Yeah.
So Amos's thing is like, the weather doesn't change. So there's not enough restraint.
Yes.
On like winter teaches you something about human nature. Yes. There's a time, there's a place, you can't beat these things. Yes. Da, da, da. But suffering. Here it's just like, it's wonderful all day, every day. And you go, it turns you into, there's a spoiling that happens.
But also likewise, places that are always cold, you're not getting, I mean, so I think the change, what you were saying is, I don't think it's just the winter. I think it is the change that you spoke of. Because it's not just like, we're not like just seeing all these like northern Russians just coming out being funny, you know? If anything, they're like, kill them all, you know?
The literature and classical music that came out of Russia.
Yeah.
Best in the world.
It's true. Yeah, I wonder.
But I think literature rather than stand-up.
This is why I like the UK.
Oh?
Because... and, you know, I don't know that it's all fully true now. I do have a lot of British friends. I think that it's like you live in a place that's beautiful, that's kind of a collapsed empire in some ways, but it's not really collapsed. And it rains all the fucking time.
I said it with love and respect for my UK listeners.
Listen, I was just in the UK. It doesn't feel collapsed. It's still beautiful.
They better add a Y.
Say again.
They better add a Y.
Say again.
Yuck. Add a Y to the UK because yuck.
God, that took me so long. I was like, what?
It wasn't great.
It's okay. But,
I love the British.
But it rains. You have these small old buildings.
Yeah.
You don't want to be inside. And that's why they go to comedy every night. You can go to a comedy thing and it sells out every single night.
Because you want
to
distract yourself from the two-tiered policing.
In your tiny little apartment with the rain. You go, I'm alive. I should go get drunk and not have my feelings.
Well, New York as well. It's you don't go to New York to stay in your apartment, do you?
No. I every time I think about New York, I get sad. I feel like New York has been ruined.
New York, I love you, but you're something
right now. With your dad and everything.
You haven't watched that with the Miles Davis trumpeting yet, have you?
No, you're going
to
show it
to
me.
Can't wait to bring that up.
You're going to show it to me. But yeah, this place, I feel like if I lived here, I would become so fulfilled by just looking at the ocean and the bridge and the hills and the architecture that I would never say a funny thing ever again.
Indeed, there are many such cases of people who come out to California and then the good work falls apart.
Yeah.
I think for, again, in all these places, it's the transplants that I have an issue with. I like, you know, I like Los Angelians.
Linos, they're called Los Angelinos.
Los Angelina, increasingly.
Angelinos, yep.
Over in Los Angelesistan. No, I said that before. I said some sort of Stan joke before and I apologize. It's the Stan show. Hey, Stan. Anyway, the important thing is, it's just like, it's good to be from somewhere. It's good to have roots. I really mean this.
Yes. I think it's also good to come in. I think transplanting is okay if you're there to soak up the vibe that was there.
Assimilate.
Yes. I know that sounds so racist, but it's true. Like, people used to go to, like, New York from, like, other places, parts of the country, and they would go there because New York was exciting. Oh, yeah. They didn't want to go there and make New York something else, or they wanted to add to the vibe.
It's wonderful seeing New Yorkers in New York.
Right.
Because they know what they can tolerate. They know what you don't tolerate. They are a distinct people.
Right.
They're a real, meaningful group of people.
I remember during COVID, I was waitressing downtown. I mean, at that point, things had reopened. We had a while where we still had to card people for vaccine stuff or else had to sit outside. But it started raining. And this was in Greenwich Village, which I grew up hanging out in the village with my cousins before it was all fucking money shit. And it started raining really quickly. And they had one of those outdoor, like, wooden structures for the tables.
Mm.
and started pouring more in, and a couple of mice took refuge in very cute little, I mean, you know, you don't want to touch them, but just mice, not rats, refuge into the thing. And the women, these transplant weak little bitches.
Were they transplants?
No, they were just cis plants.
Okay.
Yeah. And they were like screaming, they're like, do something. And I'm like, I mean, I was having too much fun. I was watching them and just really, really relishing in the moment.
It's a very trans world. You know, not just in terms of like, I feel that the transgender thing sort of passed, but this trans, just moving,
right?
Not being where you're from,
transient,
not being the class you were from,
not
in many places in the world, not speaking the language you were raised to speak.
It's you're all raised to speak, or that of the people.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have the people in French having to speak in English all the time,
right?
The Parisians speak in English, and that's just the most notable.
I met someone at your show the other night who was French.
We'd love them.
I mean, he'd come over here. Yeah, he had a great time.
It's the language I most think of. I'm only thinking this because I've been on the road for so long, and I have become a rootless cosmopolitan.
Yes, one of these people.
A wanderer.
It used to be
an exile.
Yeah.
Jew.
There's a plant called The Wandering Jew. They're trying to rename it. I'm like, keep it. I like it. I like the attention. There's a book called The Dud Avocado. Did you ever hear of it? The Dud Avocado.
D-U-D?
D-U-D. Dud Avocado. I remember I had it for a long time. I never read it. I just kept it. And then I just one day picked it up and read it. And it was such an interesting, weird book.
What were they saying?
It's basically this girl and she ends up in France. And it's kind of, I think, 50s, 60s, kind of the quiet American era. And just about her, like, and so then we were in the car going to Provence and my passport got lost, and she's kind of annoying, but it's funny. And I've seen it on all these like lists since then. I don't know how I ended up with it.
I've never heard of it.
It's good. Say again?
You liked it a lot.
I liked it. Okay. I think it was like an old way of, there were some people in like the 60s, 70s who like, and Patti Smith was one of those people. They would get around the world at a time when people didn't get around the world.
And the road.
Yeah. There was a bus that used to go from London to, I can't remember if it was somewhere in now Pakistan or now India.
What? A bus?
A bus. I remember finding out about it. I looked it up.
Didn't they have to
it was a
drive
bus.
On the wrong-hand side of the road for much of that journey?
I think at that time you didn't. But even if they did, they would manage it. And it took, I forget if it was like weeks or months, but I watched something about it. It was like a short documentary.
Yeah.
And it was so cool. But something about the riffraff who don't really care for the world, just being out in the world and just getting like a really good martini in Tokyo, or do you know what I mean? Like they just go and
global elite.
Yeah. They just go and live in hotels and there's no kind of like humbling by culture.
That's not what it feels like. When I think of my time on the road.
No, I don't think you're that person.
I think of like a guy working on a cargo ship.
Yeah.
It's like, you saw the world. It's like, I saw the ship.
Yeah. That's so accurate to touring.
I went through the list earlier. I'm sure it was a very dull part of the podcast, but you know, I was going through it and it's like, Toronto.
Is that
1 hour in an art gallery?
Yeah, it wasn't a great gallery, I thought.
I didn't hate it, but
we didn't get to see as much of it as I would have liked. But part of it was because they had that
really, Korean children.
Yeah, really loud singing thing in the middle of a very echoey museum. And you couldn't hear anything. It was like so antithetical to a museum.
It was the antithesis.
Antithesis of a museum experience.
Have you, what books have you picked up while we've been on the road? Have you picked up any? I've picked up about 30.
Yeah, you've bought me a few.
Have I? I did. I bought you
Tender as a Night.
I bought you Tender as a Night as well.
Yeah, what was the second one you
mentioned? Wow, I bought you Tender as a Night,
Franny and Zooey. I think you actually got me more than that. You got me Fountainhead, Franny and Zooey,
Well, at some point, I wanted to buy books, but I didn't want to buy them for me.
Yeah. And then your friend, Joe Esht, bought me Butter, which I have not read yet.
What a lovely fella.
It
was nice reconnecting with a lot of... I didn't get to see Sam Talent.
Oh, where was he? Was he in Denver? That.
He was on the road while I was on the road. Like we were. He lives in Detroit now.
Okay.
A fine city.
Yeah, I didn't get to go. I didn't go to Detroit. I would like to go to Detroit.
Well, you may.
I'm sure one day I will go to Detroit.
You may one day go to Detroit.
Fantastic airport.
Eve must now fly the coop, and I recommend everybody goes and listens to Eve's podcast.
Thank you.
The Eve Ellenbogen
Show.
Show. It's hard. It's hard. Show business is going through a series. There's a Graydon Carter quote in How to Lose Friends and Alienate People.
A great what Carter?
Graydon. Graydon?
Graydon Carter. Okay.
Graydon Carter. Yeah. Do you know Graydon Carter?
I don't, but I thought you were saying a great and Carter
no,
quote.
No, it was the, he's the Vanity Fair editor.
Okay.
But he was like, life is a series of rooms.
Mm.
That was what
you said.
That.
Yeah.
I always think about it.
With the doorways.
Yeah, and you got to go through, like, there's no skipping.
Yes.
You go through the next door, and then you go through the next door. Nepo babies are born. In different room.
Yeah, or sometimes you kind of go through a room more quickly than other people. I mean, it just really depends.
Yeah.
I feel like I've gone through all these. Or sometimes I think they kick you back into the one of the old. COVID really threw things off for me anyway.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I was thinking about that today.
How much of it is like looking like a person who's successful and having people accidentally agree?
I think it depends on what industry you're in. In stand-up. So
there's corporate gigs.
Yeah.
And so I know of this corporate gig where they pay $500,000. It's insane.
Where is it? What country is it in?
It's in America.
$500,000.
And they pay $500,000. And they've had so many people. And they got Tony Hinchcliffe this year or last year. But like, I don't know how much he got. Anyway,
but He probably made more than that.
I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school.
Right.
And if I am, whoopsie daisy.
Look, they have to disclose that stuff on their stuff anyway.
No, but it's, you know, I don't want to blow up anybody's spot, but it's like, that's what I've heard. Could be getting this wrong.
Yeah.
But there are other people, you know, Jim Jeffries did it years ago, and it's just like huge because they want like a big name act. They want someone who everyone feels is big.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Leno feels big.
Mm-hmm.
But then you know, I think of the you know, the Netflix is a joke festival. There are all these people who are like big movie stars. They can't sell tickets.
Right.
Because no one actually wants to see them. People just know who they are. And if they're there, maybe they have star power.
You mean, are they watching or they're in the festival?
Like, no one's a fan of them. Like, in the festival. No one's a fan of them. They don't sell.
Right.
No one wants to go and see.
Right.
You know, this person.
Yeah, beep. You can say
that. Yeah. I will shut up about that. Yeah. But there's something like, but you can also have a lot of fans.
Yeah.
It's odd for me to think that those are distinct things. There's the impression of being a success and being known and everybody. That's a person who we know. And then there's a person who actually has a lot of fans. I think of in music, Kanye talks about how he wanted like a certain thing for his tour. And they're like, mm-hmm. you need to sell this many tickets. We don't believe that you can.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, of course I can. And mm-hmm. he had to take the financial risk. Then all these people showed up. Because when you do talk to music people, they mm-hmm. go, well, he's great. He's a genius. I'd really like to go and see. Like, there might be people who are more popular and more known at different times, but don't have as many people who are big fans of theirs. This is what I'm trying to get, the rub of the matter. There was a time when I was working commercial radio where they wouldn't play Post Malone on the radio.
Right.
Even though he was the number one act on Spotify.
It's crazy.
Because they were like, people who aren't his fans don't like him. And most people aren't his fans. It's just if everyone, you know, he has the most fans, but like the second level down from that, people have a low tolerance at that time.
Yes.
And I think if someone, I mean, there must be good examples of people who, like, everybody knows, everyone goes, oh, yeah. But, like, no one has a picture of, and this is why it's going to be hard to pick them, because you wouldn't, there's just a person that we'd all know. But, like, the one that came to me immediately was, like, Reese Witherspoon, but she actually is great. And there would be people who are like, I love Reese.
Yes.
Reese is my number one.
Right.
Who am I talking about then? Someone who's, like, well-known.
Right.
But ambient.
This is, yes, exactly. I mean, who we're talking about, I guess, I mean, I think Dane Cook was that person, but he did sell a lot of tickets.
For a time.
Right.
And then it was able to go away.
Right.
And I feel like for some people, it would be impossible for it to disappear.
Look at Maria Bamford. She is so specific and has probably a pretty narrow fan base.
Yes.
And has such longevity because the people who loved her before still really love her. She's so specific. She's not trying to appeal to everybody. I think that it's a time of, because of like streaming and all stuff like that, and Spotify is taking all of these songs we know and making AI covers, and also making covers not with AI, but with people that could just pay for the session. And so then they play really bad jazzy covers of every song you've ever heard.
Yeah.
And you get used to living in a shit. Like, you're never outraged by hearing something you hate, but you also never really are excited about anything that's playing when you're eating lunch.
It's all muted.
It's all really beige and gray, yeah. And you never feel uncomfortable. You never have to change the radio station. And then your inner life becomes really kind of like just even. There's no
mush.
Yeah. And so I think that these agents, and I won't name names, but there's a lot of that in the business, that they don't want to see you unless they think you can be the next mediocre big thing. And of course you go, well, I'll fucking kill myself if I'm like that. I don't care about those fans. I don't want to just be in front of people who could be in front of anything.
It's always a countdown to me talking about the Australian comedy scene, so I'm going to avoid doing it.
Right, but that's how I feel about Australia too.
I didn't realize that at the time that what was being competed for was, can you be one of our... Can you be
a nobody?
This is only... I'm only saying this because it's the thing I'm looking at out the window. Mm-hmm. But can you be one of the leaves that fit on this tree?
Yes.
The industry is right. The tree... And you might be the biggest, brightest, most wonderful leaf if you don't really fit with the other leaves.
Right.
We can't do anything with right. you. The tree, this is a soft metaphor.
Yes.
A weak, disturbed metaphor. It's something odd where I think the internet is now allowing for other... I was hearing someone talk about the manosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about, you know, they said... The line was something like Rogan
mm-hmm.
and Clavicula mm-hmm. and Fuentes
mm-hmm.
and people like that. And you go, none of those guys are like each other.
No.
And no one else is like any of those guys. That's
right.
That's why they're huge.
I don't really listen to Clavicula or Fuentes, but I of course know who they are and what, but like they're not like each other.
They're not like each other. And they're certainly not like Rogan.
No. I was talking about Rogan today with my friend who I was hanging out with because she's pretty left. She lives here. We grew up together. We went to college together. And I think in the circles that she's in, probably Joe Rogan is like considered like, you know, it's like a dirty word. I'm like,
sure.
He's a guy. I don't really know him. Like, you know him much better. I mean, I've met him a few times through you.
Yeah.
But he's a guy. He got very successful. He has opinions about, or he doesn't. And people want to...
An incredible amount of the time he doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, and oh, and then, I mean, someone I was talking to not that long ago brought up Joe Rogan, and then I said something about him doing stand-up, and they went, he's a comedian? I thought he was like a political commentator. And I was like, wow, that's so crazy. Just to think that... And then this guy didn't like him because he thought he was like a right-wing political commentator. Well, he thought he was like Tucker Carlson.
I think for people in the mainstream, they're like bywords. And also like,
yes.
I mean, Tucker Carlson, until recently, was like a byword with like Sean Hannity.
Right.
And then
and they're very different.
They're obviously hugely different.
Right.
But I think this is what the left gets wrong. It's one of the things the left gets wrong about the right.
Yes.
Is that it's not, it's like a constant civil war.
Mm-hmm.
And the...
Well, we've been watching the Jimmies, you and I.
Yeah.
And it's unwatchable.
It's, but that is, on the left, there is some sense of like...
Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, yeah. No, they know the Jimmies.
Oh, yeah.
The listeners surely know the Jimmies.
Yeah.
It's just, within acceptability politics.
Yeah.
There's just a much stronger sense of what is like good taste, bad taste. And people have that internalized.
And it's funny because I'm not saying... I just think that like most of the mainstream is bad taste. Like if you're talking about night, like talk shows and stuff. Now, I don't think it always was. It is now mostly bad taste. This kind of like graying out of music and also this desire for like really mid comedy by agents and whatever. Of course, once you start making money, then they go, actually, we find you very
interesting. I think they just give a shit about it. Amos tried to tell me this years ago.
Yeah.
Where it was like, they just want to know if they can make money off
That's
you.
That's it. I think they don't care. And especially now, they don't. Nobody's a tastemaker. Nobody's got their eye out.
Other comedians do in our business.
Of course.
And I think in music, but other musicians do.
Right. But the people, the agents and the managers,
yeah.
What they are looking for is not how do I make this, how do I bring this person who I think will be very successful to the mainstream? What they think is, how do I take a cut of what this person is already making?
Yeah.
And that is devastating for all of us. I mean, it is and it's not, because it's like, all right, I'm not going to get discovered, but I can also go out and make my own career.
I will say it is hard navigating
new stages. Like if you suddenly have a big audience online, mm-hmm. figuring out how to get in with comedy clubs and have merchandise there right. and do your taxes and
yeah. These are you speaking from experience here, James?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, these are all the things
I'm fucking working on it. I sent a letter out today. I sent an email out today going, hey, too much was said, but not enough has been done. An edit point has been inserted into the podcast.
I said one thing too many. Yeah.
I appreciate it. I'm just going to see if I did actually get a response. Of course I didn't. Well, I just have to go around it. No, that's fine. Ah, mercy, mercy me. Oh, I got a letter. I got a message from Sam Clark about the podcast as well. It's purchase order. What does that mean?
Purchase order is when you usually bulk or when you buy something large ahead of time.
Oh, this is money for advertising on the show.
Purchase order.
Which we did. We did. I already did the ads. I'll have you know. Do you know I did the ads?
I was there when you did the ads and people worried about you. Remember when we were in New York and you did the ads for the, it wasn't a zin, but it was like a thing like a zin.
I forgot that I'd done that. I did a podcast episode already in New York.
I left. No, you're doing, I think so.
I was finishing an episode that I'd done earlier.
Right. And so I left. It was like one of the nights. I walked you back.
Oh man, I'd forgotten how much I'd done to the podcast.
And you did this thing and you were like.
Damn.
Wow. You were just like kind of.
I was drinking Fireball Gatorade.
Yeah. You were railing against something while doing an ad. And then you told me that people messaged you going,
yeah,
are you all right?
Well, the podcast will. This is pre-return to normalcy podcast because I'll be back home soon and there'll be a new normal.
Yeah.
I want everyone to know about the new normal. And we're going beige.
Right.
We're going mainstream.
Yeah, yeah.
The podcast, I think. Beige. We'll see if he agrees to do it. Grey beige. Yeah. It'll be me, Darcy. I'm thinking two chairs and we are just going to chat about the news.
You could be one of the, whatever. You could be a Jimmy.
Oh, yes. Don't think there aren't people in the orbit who want me to become the final Jimmy.
But you could be a Jimmy who does it with a spin.
It seems like so much work to be a Jimmy.
A Jimmy
I'm going
with pizzazz.
Eve, we have all the money to make a movie.
Yeah, that's great.
We're going to make a movie.
Beautiful.
The podcast must continue.
Mm-hmm.
And I Darcy walked into my life. He will be my sidekick. And we'll set up a nice camera and I'll talk to Darcy for 2 hours a week.
You know which episode I'm most excited for?
What are you excited for? Oh, with your father coming.
You'd release the podcast with my father.
One day. Have you sent me the video?
I sent you the video.
Thank you. We did a great podcast with Eve's father that will be coming as 91. Soon as I can't be bothered making a podcast.
He's 91. Just remember that time. Time's
you want it out. You want him to hear it.
I would like him to hear it while he's alive.
Okay.
I would hope. To his credit, he has not one time brought it up to me, possibly because he's forgotten. But I don't think he will forget for long.
Life is very long. And there is time. I might finish Uncut Gems.
Today?
Yeah. I might lie on this couch and finish Uncut Gems.
Yeah. I think when you do that, I'm going to go read.
Okay.
Where did you go for a walk last night? So I heard you. It was so funny. These walls are paper thin.
I know. I'm sorry.
I mean, I wasn't asleep, but I was about to go to sleep. And then I heard like, well, that. And I was like, okay, this is, I can't earplug my way.
Thanks
through
for
this.
Letting me know. Oh, I heard someone snoring.
I was wondering, was I snoring really loudly?
No. It's just paper thin walls.
Yeah. How much, what does it sound like when I snore? Listen, that's just me screaming. My PTSD.
It was not pleasant.
Yeah. No, come on. You barely heard it, right? That wasn't snoring, James.
No. Please, no. Anyway, we've had a good tour. We've had a great tour. We love San Francisco. And I'm leaving. We're both leaving. Where are you flying off to tomorrow?
Austin.
Austin, Texas, to prepare for your new life in?
Nashville,
Tennessee.
Yeah.
You going to get into the hockey?
I don't even know that they have. Do they have
the hockey? Predators.
That's not my jam.
You're going to make it, Eve. Eve, going to make it in Nashville, Tennessee.
My goal is to just be there during the week, working stuff out at Zany's, and then be away every weekend.
Every weekend.
Most weekends.
On the road, doing gigs.
It's going to get old so fast.
Doing hours.
It's going to get old so quickly.
I believe in you.
And I'm going to call you crying going, why did I want this?
I have a new number. I'm going to have a new number. I'm waiting to get. I want them to announce the Foldy phone.
Oh, the Foldy iPhone.
I'm so torn between walk away from phones entirely and just have like a, just go back to the dumb phone.
Mm-hmm.
And no one can get me.
You've tried that already.
I'm not good at it.
No.
But I, if at first we don't succeed, we try again. Yeah.
No one's good at it. And you're, it's really hard to accept that we have to be.
I think I'm getting to a point where I don't have to be.
I don't know. You've said that to me about so many things and you've been wrong every time.
I know. But I believe. Yeah. I believe that I'm getting to a point where I can.
You can't just be have a phone that you can't text on.
That's one of the only things I need to do. I think I'd even go back to Walkman.
It's like you need.
I could go Walkman.
But James, you listen to more music than like anybody on Spotify.
Yeah.
You're always sending
music. I'm walking away.
You on the plane, you have like a little keyboard on your phone and you're making songs.
I'm going to buy a little keyboard for my house.
Yeah, to bring with you or on the plane. Then
I don't travel anymore.
Right.
Travel James is dead.
Yes.
Blood and soil James rises triumphant.
I hope he doesn't die before you get out of this country.
Yeah. We haven't spoken. Anyway, my health episodes have all been, I've did my blood tests and I'm fine.
Yesterday, I told you this, when you went to the urgent care in the morning and I've been sent, you're like, I'm dying all the time. I'm dying. And I go, you're fine. And you're like,
She's killing me.
Like you, it's almost like you want to die to prove me wrong.
She's killing me.
And so then.
Why are you stressed? You're so stressed. Try not to be so stressed.
I never say, why are you stressed? I say, James.
You're all stressed out.
I say,
you are stressed.
I say, maybe your health issues are related to the immense stress that is oozing out of every pore of your body.
Yeah, you don't say what. Ever could be responsible for
right
that.
Yes, it's we me. Love Eve. It's not me, it's me, it's not
we
the
went
tour.
To Casa Bonita, that was a very
it's
nice
not the money
experience,
it's not the family
the
it's
podcast
not the
has come to an end now.
Wait, but so then when
the podcast is over.
So then you went to go nap and then you're like, I'll be an hour.
She's a control freak.
And then you never woke up. Oh, you didn't wake up for hours. And I thought, don't do this to me on the last day or the what? Second. Don't die on me.
I will die.
And then I have to call your wife and she'll go, why didn't you take him to the hospital?
I
go, he went this
I
morning.
I did too much. I did too much.
Yeah.
I did too much.
On this tour?
I did too much and it wasn't enough.
It was, you did a lot and it was great and it will be really good.
I still can't buy a boat.
You could buy a boat.
I can't buy my boat.
You could buy a boat.
It's a $500,000 boat.
You can't buy that boat.
That's the boat. I still can't buy the boat. I've worked so hard and I can't buy a boat. Do you understand, Eve? What it's
what
like to
like?
Give 4 years of your life to
not
trying
being able
to buy
a
boat,
half a million dollar boat.
And I still can't buy a $500,000 boat.
The truth is that if you had been a little bit better with your money.
Not true. Not true.
You could have bought a
it's not
boat.
True. It's not true. It's not true.
You don't think so?
It's not true. I am will can no longer can I have people with less money than me tell me I'm so bad with money.
Oh, no, I know you're bad with money. I know you
It's
are.
Been my family forever. My family would always go, James is bad with money.
You're great.
And I would want
right.
to say,
oh,
I made, you know, on the year that mum was like, you're not very good at using your money and not overspending. It's like, I made $18,000 this year.
You're great.
And I paid rent.
At making money. Now, you're great at making money and you because you make really weird shit. And it's, I as you know, I'm a fan.
Better Help and Mudwater. Is it pronounced Mudwater?
I think so.
We love Mudwater.
It doesn't make, just have, being able to make money does not make one good with money. I am bad at making
I'm
money.
I'm a money Svengali.
You know what I should do? I should manage your money. Why don't you give me your money?
No.
Why don't you give me that? Do you know what's funny? I've had, I think I have it with me, a bank card linked to your bank account that I got for you.
It's time for you to give me that card.
It's
now.
Just so funny how much I could have robbed you for so long.
Ha ha ha. Give me my bank card. I want to see it. You've never even let me see it. We've been on the road for 3 weeks.
I think I might have
this
it
is
right
the
here.
First mention of it.
It's not the first mention of
is
it.
Is it Darth Vader themed?
Yeah. It's Woo! The Star Wars one. I think it's right here. Do I have it here or did I put it elsewhere?
Let's yes.
See. Did I put it in that homeless man's hand today when he asked me for a dollar? I might have said, sir, go crazy.
Do I really have a Darth Vader guy now? Thank you. Throw it over here. Throw it over here, please. Throw it over here. That's my Vader money card.
And yes. I made fun of you for getting Star Wars, and then I found my card.
Has it been activated, by the way?
It has not yet been activated. But I'll tell you this. I could have activated it because I also know your fucking passwords. And
good night, everybody.
And it's... The password is...